to you about Jesus is. He is. And I want you to know that He is the soon returning King. He is about to return, the rapture of the church, the calling forth of the bride. He is working. God is at work. The documentation of the past, the confirmation of the present, and the consolation for the future. He is the author and finisher of our faith. What He started, praise God, in our faith, He will complete. He is our provider. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, then the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. I like what Abraham said. He didn't say it might be seen. He said it's going to be seen. Amen. And so I'm going to be talking just two or three more times on this. He is building His church and a couple other things. And then we'll move on to Easter as we focus on this resurrection season. But tonight I want to talk to you about He is not just the Savior. There's a lot of Saviors in the world. He's the right Savior. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight and go to Colossians chapter 1 and also 1 John chapter 4 and Luke chapter 19. Colossians chapter 1, 1 John chapter 4, Luke chapter 19. Amen. And by the way, that person who texts me is a good person, and they weren't being critical. So I just want to, in case, you know, sometimes you say things and it comes out wrong when you're standing in front. But we are going to go by safety protocols, and we want people to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad that you're in the house of the Lord tonight? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. If you're there, say amen. And He is. Say He is. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. I just love those two words. He is. Go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. Sister Nelm, since the back overhead is malfunctioning, please give me the old-time thumbs up so I'll know that they're seeing behind me without me turning my back. You know, the teacher, when they turn their back, people the kids would begin to play around. Amen? So I want to keep my eyes on everybody and make sure the devil's not tempting everybody. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be what? Savior of what? And then finally, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. He is. Oh God, thank You that You're telling us that Jesus is. Lord, it matters not the president, matters not Congress, matters not pandemics. Jesus is. Oh God, matters not the doctor's report. It matters not what our bodies say. He is. And Father, we give You the praise for it. And Lord, anoint Your servant to preach, Your people to hear. May I decrease, oh Lord, and may You increase. And we'll give You praise for it. And everybody said amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody, Jesus is. Amen. He is the right Savior, which implies there could be a wrong Savior. Now, the one thing that we all need, you may say we need money, we need a vaccine, we need this. But the one thing that we all need, no matter who we are, where we are, what we have, what we don't have, the one thing, and I would say the main thing, is that we all need a Savior. You see, no one is so bad that they cannot be saved. And on the contrary side, no one is so good that they don't need to be saved. We all need a Savior. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is He is the Savior. I said this a few weeks ago. If our greatest need was financial, Jesus would have come as a banker and would have doled out cash. If our greatest need was health, He would have come as a doctor, although He did heal the sick, but He wasn't per se a medical doctor in our sense of the terms. He was the great physician. If all that we needed were education, He would have come as a professor. If all that we needed was political, He would have come as a politician. No, you see, man's greatest need is not and was not financial, physical, educational, or political. Man's greatest need is spiritual. And as a result, Jesus didn't come as a doctor, philosopher, or banker. He came as a savior. Do you know him as a savior tonight? Do you have the right savior? Do you have the right healer? Do you have the right doctor, the right lawyer? He's an advocate. Somebody give him a hand of praise. He is. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come." Now, I like that. It didn't say the Son of Man has come, which he has come. But this puts it in the present now. He's right now. He's in this service. He's at this moment. He is. And the Son of Man is come, praise God, to seek and to save that which was lost. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. He is the right Savior. Who will it be for you? Everyone is going to pick a savior. Everyone is going to look for salvation in something or someone. And tonight I want to help you in picking the right savior. And be careful, because this is important. We all need a savior. And if you want to know how to pick the right savior, let me give you four suggestions tonight. When you're deciding on who's going to be my savior, maybe we want to consider four things. Number one, he is a savior who can meet you where you are. Now, if you pick a savior that can meet you where you are, that's a good thing, because you need a savior that can be there when you need him. Now, if your savior is in California and you're in the hospital at Rex in Raleigh, then how's he going to help you if he's over in California at somebody else's hospital? He can't get to Raleigh fast enough, because you might need him immediately. That's kind of what Elijah was. The prophets of Baal, you know, those 400 prophets were calling out to God, to their God, and cutting themselves. And that's a whole sermon, a whole series of sermons of how that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants you to cut yourself short. He wants you to bleed. But my friend, my Savior, he cut his son and made him bleed. Aren't you glad for the precious blood of Jesus? Amen. But Elijah, they were over there just praying, "Oh God, answer by fire. Oh Baal, answer by fire. Oh Baal." And Elijah's over there just a chuckling and having, he's like, "Well, maybe your God is taking a nap. Maybe he's, and you good at, maybe he's going to the restroom." go and read that. It implies that. Maybe your God, can't hear you. Maybe he's a little deaf. And you know, those 400 prophets of Baal, they picked the wrong savior. Because the minute that Elijah said, "Let me show you guys who the right savior is." He said, "Oh God, hear my prayer and answer and show that you are God." And the Bible says the fire of the Lord fell, and Elijah had the right Savior who met him right there on the top of Mount Carmel. And brother and sister, the right Savior will meet you in the car, will meet you on the job site, will meet you in the church house, will meet you in the White House. The right Savior, pick the one that can meet you where you are when you need him, because not all of them can be there. Somebody say amen. Yogi Berra said, he was a great baseball player of many decades ago. My generation is not as familiar with him, and certainly the younger generation has no clue. They think it's a cartoon character. Yogi Berra had these famous one-liners. He said, "Everywhere you go," he said, "Everywhere I go, there I am." And my friend, everywhere you go, there he is. Amen. Philip Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, a wonderful reading, he said, "I have watched devout peasants crawl on bloody knees across cobblestone streets in Costa Rica looking for a savior." My friend, you don't have to crawl on your hands and knees to get to the right savior. And if you have to crawl on your hands and knees up a mountain to the cobblestone streets of Costa Rica, which is mountainous, if you've got to crawl on that to get to your Savior, then you don't have a Savior worth having. But let me tell you, on the contrary, Jesus crawled up a mountain called Calvary, and his hands and feet became bloody, and he crawled and died for you, and he did that so that he can meet you where you are. Somebody say amen tonight. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Pick a Savior that can meet you in the ER. Amen. Pick a Savior number two. He is a Savior who cares. Because you would think, when you get to studying some of these false messiahs, I mean, people just worship them, give them money. Some of these false messiahs, they turn around and are mean to the people that worship them. I mean, you think about that bald-headed guy that told them to fly off with the Hale-Bopp comet about 25 years ago. I remember standing in this parking lot when I was the pastor here, and I remember seeing the Hale-Bopp comet out there. That was about 24 years ago, I guess. And you remember that guy, that bald-headed guy with big eyes? And he was their Savior. He said, "You're going to follow me." He said, "All you got to do is drink some of that poison." That wasn't very good. And they showed the pictures of those people that they showed videos and said, "Oh, I just can't wait to meet my Savior up on that Hale-Bopp comet." And then you could see their bodies where they had died a terrible death. And now they're in hell forever and forever because they chose the wrong Savior. They didn't make it to the Hale-Bopp comet. They made it to the gates of hell. How terrible that Savior was to them. Their Savior didn't care enough about them. Think about David Koresh and the Waco cult there, and all those children there burned alive, and all of that. He wasn't very good to them. He didn't care about them. And what about Jim Jones and how he took them down, and we mentioned that a few weeks ago, and he made them to drink. And I didn't realize this, but many people were trying to escape, and he forced them. Forced them. You could hear them screaming on the tape. I didn't know this. I learned this. I thought they did it willingly. No, he was a bad Savior. He didn't care about them. But my friend, my Savior cares about you, and he cares about me. He numbers the hair upon my head. And though he may not prevent me from going through difficulties, I promise you this, he cares for me in those difficulties. He is my shepherd. He is the Lord. He is a wonderful Savior. Look at 2 Corinthians. You know, some of those messiahs, they enrich themselves. They take people's money and they live lavishly, while they make their followers live like paupers. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." He stripped himself of splendor. He emptied himself of glory. He stepped into the mess of humanity. And I can't earn it, and I don't deserve it. The Isaiah 55 and verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Oh, I want to tell you, when I picked Jesus to be my Savior, I got things that money cannot buy. Aren't you glad for the... Oh, let me tell you, I'll go to the Speedway and get my 42-ounce drink and my plant-based healthy cookie, hallelujah, and I'm in a hurry, ready to roll, and I'll get behind, and I'll wait for a minute patiently, and then I'll wait another minute, and then it'll strike me, what's taking so long? And then I peek around the corner, and all those tickets, gotta play that, those tickets of that. Oh, does that ever happen to you? I don't want to sit here for 15 minutes while you figure out 15, 42, 38, 75 will be your lucky five. I gotta go to work. I got a life here. I don't need your Savior. I don't need your money. Glory to God. I don't need that lot of money. I got a Savior who cares for me. I guess you just figured out my position on the lottery. Amen. You got a position? Yeah, don't do it. Amen. Don't do it. I'd rather give my tithe and offerings, and I'd get my harvest from God. Amen. Well, if I can just win that money, let me tell you, if money's your savior, that don't care for you. Well, you say, well, I got money this and money that. Jack Whitaker, in 2002, he won the largest individual lottery prize in United States history. After taxes, he walked away with $113 million. And don't you just love people to say, man, if I won that much money, I'd give the church, blah, blah, blah. Let's look at your giving for the last 12 months. $38 is about all you would give. How much did you make? I made $45,000. Come on now, help me here. Or $20,000 or whatever. Somebody ought to, I'm telling you, I'm getting on controversial territory here tonight. But my friend, to people don't mind, I'll give money if I win all that money. If you ain't give $20, you're not going to give $10 million. I don't care how much you got. Oh, he won $113 million. The Associated Press put in January 2007. Since then, he has faced his granddaughter's death by drug overdose. He has been sued for bouncing checks at Atlantic City. He has been ordered to undergo rehab after being arrested on a drunk driving charges. His vehicles and businesses have been burglarized, and he's been sued by the father of an 18-year-old boy, a friend of his granddaughter's, who was found dead at his own house. Thomas Strong won $3 million in the Texas lottery in 1993, died in a shootout with police in 2006. Billy Bob Harrell Jr. won $31 million in Texas lottery again, but he committed suicide less than 2 years later. According to MSNBC legal reporter Dan Abrams, one of the reasons everyone, family, friends, and strangers had been hitting him up for money, so he just ended it all. My friend, if money is your savior, you got a bad savior. Pick a savior who will care about you when there's no money, hallelujah, because he cares for us. Oh, let me tell you that money can buy you a house but not a home, a doctor but not health, a vacation but not peace, an alarm system but not security. It can buy things, but not the main thing. Let me tell you, here's the things that money can't buy that my Savior can give me. Without price, I've got victory. I've got peace that passes all understanding. I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I've got a home in glory, and I've got joy unspeakable. And on top of that, I've been sprinkled with His blood. Oh, thank God I've got a Savior who cares. Come on, lift your hand and love on Him. I said, He cares for you. He cares for you, church. He cares for you. He's there for you. And He'll be there when you need Him. And He cares. And then number three, pick a Savior that'll be good for you. Because some people's Saviors that they pick aren't good for them. And I've alluded to it in the last 2 points. But alcoholism is not good for you. I was going through some old photo albums and saw my grandfather and my grandmother, and they got married later in life. They had been together on and off, and back in, I guess, the late 80s, early 90s, they went down and made it official. And I saw they looked so nice. Grandpa was probably about my age in that picture, about 50. My grandmother was probably about 40. And I had a very young grandmother, very young mother. And so, long story short, I just looked at that picture, and he was an alcoholic, and he drank every weekend. And I'll tell you, alcohol wasn't good to him. At 54 years of age, I looked at his cold, dead body at Nash General Hospital, cirrhosis of the liver. Drugs are not good for you. And some people that are in living together, in arrangements where they have not been married and they live together, and they turn and find out that partner will abuse them and rob them and beat them, and because in a sense they're looking to them to meet their needs. In other words, that's their savior, but that savior is not good to you. That relationship sometimes is toxic, and you got a fatal attractions, like that old movie. Let me tell you that it's not good for you. Muhammad, he's not good for you. Muhammad says, if you really want to get to heaven, no, Muhammad says, if you want a chance to get to heaven, there's not any assurance of heaven in the Islam religion. I went to a pastor, he might have been there several years ago at Falcon. They had a man who's in Dearborn, Michigan, and he ministers to the Muslims. He knows Islam in and out. And for those of you who don't know, Dearborn, Michigan is the largest Muslim city in the Western Hemisphere. And they are overrun. The whole area is nothing but Islam. Here in America, Dearborn, Michigan. And he said that Islam never promises their people assurance. They are hoping for a chance to get to heaven. No wonder their music sounds so terrible. I don't mean to be crude or rude, but at Duke campus, about 10 years ago, yes, Duke University, Durham, North Carolina, they started playing that Muslim prayer call, and all of that. And I don't mean to make fun of it, but it's terrible. It sounds like somebody's gone to the dentist. And everybody was all in uproar. That's a Christian university. You know, Duke was founded as a Methodist school. People don't realize that. And here they are playing the Muslim prayer call. And I'm like, well, let them play the Muslim prayer call. I don't care. But here's the other thing. Let them also play Andre Crouch's "For It Reaches to the Highest Mountain." Let's do equal. Because let me tell you something, the Muslim prayer call, at the worst, it's just going to give you a headache. At best, it may help some Muslim. But I'll tell you what, you start playing Andre Crouch, Pound of Blood, and some theological, somebody on that campus that's been bound or hooked or hell is going to hear that song and hear that anointing, and might turn it. Because there's power even in music. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness out here tonight? I tell you, Muhammad says, listen, send your sons, 12 hijackers, on that fateful day, 9/11, 2001. Those guys were convinced that they were going to earn their salvation to do such a diabolical deed. And I'll tell you, all they earned was a place in hell forever and forever. You better pick a Savior to be good for you. You see, God doesn't say to us, you give your sons to me. God says, I'll give my son to you. And he gave himself for us, that he might give himself to us. That's a powerful statement. I'm going to repeat that. He gave himself for us, which means he paid for the penalty of my sin. But not just, he didn't want to just pay for the penalty of my sin. He gave himself for us that he might give himself to us. He wants to walk with me and talk with me. He wants to count the hair upon my head. He didn't just, your sins are forgiven and you just go on and have a nice day. He said, no, your sins are forgiven and I want to know you and I want you to know me. And I want us to have fellowship. And I want us to talk. I go to the priest today. I'll go to church today. I'll go to the Pope. No, no, no. God said, I want to talk to you personally. Because he's a Savior who cares for you. Oh, Pastor Jerry, we've said it. If God had a refrigerator, he'd put, praise God, your picture on it. Amen. Because he cares for you. If God had a cell phone, I'm updating the illustration. If God had a cell phone, your picture might just be in the background. Don't you have on your cell phone, if those of you know how to do it, I know you've got smartphone and dumb phones. Come on now. But those of you know how to do it, you'll put on that cell phone background a picture of one or two people that mean the most to you. Oh, I tell you. God loves us. Oh, for the love of God, let's celebrate it. Let's embrace it. Let's know that he is the lover of my soul. Give him praise. Has he been good to you? I said, God is good all the time. And brother, God, all the time, God is good. He's good on the job. He's good at Waffle House. He's good if you go to jail in the jailhouse. Hallelujah. He's good in the at your house. He is good in the church house. He is good all the time. Amen. Are you going to pick the right Savior? Those of you listening online, what Savior have you picked? Drugs, alcohol, Muhammad, philosophies, all of these things. Voltaire said, when he died, one of the great atheists, his nursemaid said, for all the wealth of Europe, I'll never again see an infidel die. Voltaire, with all of that, is education your God? It didn't help Voltaire at his dying moment. Oh, God, help us to pick the right Savior. And then finally, here's the deal. You better pick a Savior that can handle death. That can handle death. Because we're all going to die. We're all going to die. And haven't we seen just in the 3 years ago, Billy Graham was promoted to glory at 99 years of age. And then Carmen, the singer. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say Carmen? Raise your hand. Okay, I didn't know if some of you had no clue who Carmen was. So. And he's done a lot in ministry and music, and he passed away this week. And of course, Rush Limbaugh passed away, who had such a great impact that God really used him. I really believe. And his brother David Limbaugh has a great book on Jesus the Messiah. And around Easter, that's just amazing. The Limbaugh brothers have just been such a blessing to us. And we've seen others pass away. And Brother Bud Tedder, who used to sit back there where Brother Wayne is sitting, one row back, and came to church. I mean, just so faithful. Him and Sister Joan. And there's no question if he were still alive and if they were healthy enough, they would be in this service tonight. Oh, but Brother Bud didn't linger in sickness. Very shortly after he got sick, the Lord called him home. Oh, my friend, pick a Savior that can meet you in death. Death is scary. Death is eternal. Death is unknown. Death is... lurks around the corner. We never know when. We never know how. We never know sometimes why. But I will tell you this. For those of us who have picked Jesus Christ, he already died. And guess what? He handled it pretty good. Oh, he died. Oh, let me tell you something. Muhammad died. And when Muhammad died in the year 632, some of his body was cut up and spread all over the Near East. When Buddha rotted away with food poisoning, Lao Tzu, the father of Taoism, he was a so-called Messiah. He wandered off into the wilderness, and he later died with his water buffalo. Confucius died and was buried. So all of these messiahs, they have died. Many of them have died. Some of them are still around, but they've all died who said they were messiahs, but they couldn't handle death. Their body has rotted and their souls are long gone into the infernal pits of hell. But I'll tell you, one who died and he gave, in fact, they didn't kill him. And he wasn't a martyr. He laid, to be a martyr means somebody killed you and you didn't want to be killed. He said, no, you can't take my life. I'm going to lay down my life. Brother, he truly died. In the catechism, he truly died. He didn't just fall asleep. He didn't just kind of lift off into heaven. He breathed his last, gave up his spirit, and died. And now if he were like any other Savior that people have picked, then we would be on equal ground, wouldn't we? Your Savior might be as good as mine. But my Savior, on that third day, we've been talking about Easter today, Pastor, and he mentioned it this morning on that blood. Oh, but let me tell you, praise God, on that third day, they went to that tomb, and that tomb was empty. Why was it empty? Because the angel said, he is not here. He is risen. Just like, you know what? He handled death, and he defeated death. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today, and I picking a Savior that handled death. He's alive forevermore. Why don't you give him praise? Well, glory. I said he handled death. Hallelujah. He died and he rose again. And now when I face death and you face death, we don't face death in a darkness. We face death with faith. And whether we live, praise God, we live into the Lord. Paul said, whether I die, I am the Lord's, because God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. You know what that means? That Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are not laying in some tomb dead. God is not the God of dead people. He is the God of living people. Abraham is alive. Joseph is alive. That's what they said to Jacob. They said, Joseph, your son is alive. And my friend, he was alive in this world. But my friend, your loved one that died, I'll tell you, they are living tonight. They're in glory tonight. Oh, happy day. We're going to make it one day. And we're going to gather around the other side. And I just praise God that death is not the end for the Christian. Amen. It's just the beginning. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, when we walk through death, we won't be walking alone. He'll hold our hand. Stephen said, Brother Quentin, would you come to the piano again, please, sir? And I want you to sing that song, Savior, Savior. What is it, the rest of it? Do not pass me by. And if you don't mind, just I'll let you know when to start, okay? But just get your, if you'll just get in position there. And we thank you. Don't we love Brother Quentin? Amen. Praise God. And that's why our music doesn't sound like having a tooth pulled. We don't come to church like, and you, we don't fall on our face and have nowhere to sit and speak to no one and just all somber. I'm talking about the mosque. I'm talking about other houses of worship. And then there's some dead Christians church who don't serve the living Jesus. They serve a dead Jesus on a cross. You go to their church, you got a touch here, and I'm not putting down anybody that's sincere and who really knows the Lord. I'm not making fun of anybody's religious expressions. There are some people very sincere in all those churches who really know our Lord. But our music is not dead and lifeless. Praise God, you get a Sister Darce Thorne up here, and you get a Quentin Hedgepeth up here, and Bill and Jane and the Pages and all the. I bet I'm gonna leave somebody out, and I better be careful naming names here. And Sister Darnell, better not leave that one out. Amen. And the other ones, hallelujah, that sing, hallelujah. And boy, you get Sister Darnell singing, he's a way maker and a miracle worker. Oh, hallelujah. You get those the Smiths singing and all those songs about the boat and you prayed all night and you held on. And I forget the name of that song, but oh, it blesses me every time. And Brother Ray talking about I got a oh, praise God. They've been in touch with a real living Savior, and our music is alive. Our music is full of faith, and our music can move people. Amen. Because we've picked the Savior. Would you stand with me tonight? Greatest question I'm going to ask you is not who is your financial advisor. The greatest question I'm not going to ask you tonight is who is your medical doctor. Greatest question we're not going to ask tonight is who is the president of the United States. I figured I'd get a good response out of that. Notice I didn't say who won the election for president of the United States. We know who won the election. Amen. I want to ask you tonight something more important. Who is your Savior? Now I'm looking at the congregation this Sunday night. I feel like for everybody in here, you know the Savior. You've picked the Savior. You have the Savior. But my last question to you, to all of us, does the Savior have you? Come on, brother, go ahead and sing that if you would tonight. Come on, love on your Savior tonight. Savior. He is.
My humble cry, why, oh
come on, sing it again. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Lift your hands and sing that. How to pick a Savior. Have a Savior. Does the Savior have you? I want us to close this service tonight with a prayer of consecration and dedication. I want Him to sprinkle that blood on me one more time tonight. Heavenly Father, as we close, pastor's coming up, but Father, as I close this part of the service, Lord, we have You, but I pray that You'll have us. God, that we'll be closer, dedicated, faithful, serving the Lord, sanctified, sprinkled with the blood. God, for every sick body in this building tonight, God, we pick a Savior that can heal. We pick a Savior that defeated sickness and disease. Oh God, tonight I just speak full restoration, full restoration, full restoration. Somebody lift your hand. You're being restored tonight, not just as before, but better than before. Some of you listening online, God is restoring. God is saving some of those backsliders. I call them home. Some of those with cancer are healing, being healed right now. Oh God, thank You tonight, God. Lord, that You are a Savior. You are our healer. You are our King. And we have You. But Lord, have all of us, God, morning, noon, and night, consecrated, dedicated, serving You. Not because we're made to, but because we love to. We give You praise for that tonight. I love You, Lord. Just say, I love You, Lord. Oh, I love You, Lord. Oh, we thank You. He is. Somebody shout, He is. Tell your neighbor, He is. Amen. Amen. He is the need meter. He is the mighty God of Jacob. Hallelujah. Sing it again, my brother. Savior.
Savior.
Oh, He's here.
My humble cry.
Oh, He handled it. He's not passing me.